Welcome to week two of the Good If It Goes podcast, 2016 and 17 Woo! Edition.
Back at this boy.
We're ready tonight. It's myself, Shane, Mike, and Prentice. Just the three of us tonight. We're going to dive into what could be the best college football Saturday of the year. I mean, we've got
Let's get it, baby.
Three games.
Whoa. Three musketeers in this bitch.
I think every single person that's a college football fan is absolutely hyped for, and it works out perfectly because they're all at their own time. So we'll start off with the first game of the day, the 12 Eastern game. We've got Florida State heading to Louisville. Florida State is a 2.5-point favorite right now. They opened -4. Money's come in on Louisville, and it's down to 2.5. Guys, Lamar Jackson, I mean, looks like the right-handed Michael Vick. What do you guys think of this kid so far, and how does he match up against Florida State? Because you know, people have looked at him so far and said, okay, well, you know, he destroyed two awful defenses, and now he's got to step up in competition and go against Florida State. Mike, I'll start with you. Is he the real deal?
I think he's the real deal. I think right now what we need to worry about is if he can make Louisville a contender in the ACC. And I think this is the game that's obviously going to prove that to be right or wrong. He's clearly the leader on the team. And what has he got, 13 touchdowns now in two games? And, yeah, he did it against Cupcakes. But 13 touchdowns in two games, that you don't just see that often, which is why he's the leader on the Heisman watch right now. I think right now, Florida State, this is also a game for them to establish their identity as a power of the ACC and continue to be that as they have been the last couple of seasons. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be close. The spread on it, I think, it's going to be a close game. I think the spread is right on target with that. I got Florida State winning the game. But to answer your question, is Lamar Jackson for real? Yeah, he's the real deal. I think he's going to come up short just with the influx of talent, but he's going to show that Louisville, you know, they're going to be a team to watch the rest of this year in the ACC.
Prentice, as a obvious diehard Florida State fan, you know, I'm sure you're, you know, nervous, excited, whatever. I mean, this is a great early season matchup. What's your biggest concern? Forget Jackson for a second. I mean, you got your quarterback, you know, his first road test. Everybody's talking about, you know, can Jackson finally do it against a good team? Well, you know, you got a quarterback that is making his first, you know, true tough road start. How do you see that? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I don't think Louisville has the athletes defensively they've had in the past. Now Fields, their outside linebacker / defensive end kid that transferred from TCU. Now he's incredible. And that honestly frightens me more than Jackson, because kid's first team All-American. And if you watched our offensive line the first half versus Ole Miss, I mean, they had young guys out there destroying us. And this guy destroys everybody. So, you know, if we can block up front and we can play to our game, then I'm not worried. I mean, I can't compare the Louisville game last year. Louisville gave us a hell of a game last year, and Jackson made some plays. He wasn't as dominant as he has been this year. And of course, the level of competition is a little different, but he's a year better. He's a year experienced. So that does frighten me, but I don't think he has, like, he's not going to be able to beat us by himself offensively. You know, if our offensive line has figured it out and we can get Dalvin Cook rolling, then I don't think they beat us. But I mean, the game does frighten me.
Yeah, I think one of the issues too, or one of the, you know, the keys for Louisville is, you know, they have to establish somebody besides Jackson.
Right, so
like, you know,
somebody's gonna have to make plays.
Right, exactly. Because I think Florida State, obviously, you know, they're gonna completely game plan, you know, around this guy. You know, either they're gonna do the old cliche 8 in the box or, you know, what, but you know, Brandon Radcliffe is he's a pretty damn good running back. I think he went off for like 150 last week against Syracuse. I think Florida State, you know, that first game that they had against Ole Miss, you know, that's going to help them here. Obviously, you know, they faced adversity, and it was, you know, more of, you know, that game was what? That game was in Orlando, so it was a neutral site, but, you know, their, I guess you could say, early season battle tested where Louisville's not. You know, Louisville's right. destroyed these two teams. You know, if this game's close, you gotta kind of give the edge to Florida State. How is Louisville going to respond to a close game? If Florida State comes out and punches them in the mouth first, how does Louisville respond to that? I think all these things kind of make me lean towards Florida State. I'm not going to play this game. Like I said, I like Florida State to win, but, you know, not enough to get down on. I mean, I can't wait. It's going to be fun. The over-under is 66.5, so you know there's going to be points. So I think we're all kind of we're all in agreement here. It's going to be Florida State, and, you know, I love starting the day like this because I feel like a lot of times, too, these college games or these college slates, you know, all the good games are in the, for me and Mike, in the 2:30 slot and then the 7 o'clock slot. The 11 a.m. games are always kind of eh. Well, I mean, you start off with possibly the best game. All right, moving on now to...
Not to overlook, but Derwin James got hurt, and I believe he's our, if not our best, but our second best defender in the secondary. And I want to see how we rally around that and we can, you know, plug and play. And does that play an advantage to Jackson? You know, is he going to attack our safeties? And I'm not a fan of Nate Andrews, who I'm assuming is going to take Derwin James' spot. But that's something I'm going to really keep an eye on because that frightens the shit out of me. I'm a huge Derwin James fan, and he's out for the next maybe 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, that's definitely a big injury.
Very huge loss for our defense.
All right, well, now moving on to the SEC showdown. Got Alabama number one heading to Ole Miss. Alabama is a 11-point favorite. That went up a little bit. They opened around 9, I believe. Now they're sitting at 11. We know what happened last year. Alabama lost to Ole Miss. They were pretty embarrassed. I mean, that was a pretty embarrassing game. I mean, they were terrible. Honestly, that was one of the worst games I've seen from an Alabama team in the Saban era. You know, obviously, you expect Alabama to come out and probably win this game rather easily. I'm just, you know, I'm not a big Ole Miss fan. We saw them week one against Florida State. You know, they blew that game. You have to wonder how much that takes out of a team already. I understand, you know, Alabama's a big rival and they're going to obviously get up for the game, but Mike, what do you see here? Do you see, you know, 2 years in a row of an upset, or do you think Alabama takes care of them?
Bama lost that game. They beat themselves. The last two times they've lost to Ole Miss, they beat themselves. I think they outgained them in yards, like, within those losses, but they turned the ball over. And that's where Jalen Hurts comes in. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's been hitting his throws. He's been, you know, just kind of making do as a true freshman. Coming out of his first start, and it was good to see him progress. I'm going, you know, you take Alabama quarterbacks for what they are, but I think he has some talent that we haven't seen. Of course, he's obviously very raw, and he has the support around him, always a good offensive line and the skill players. So they don't turn the ball over. This game will probably be over before the first half is done.
Prentice, are you echoing that? I mean, do you give, you know, how much of a chance do you give Ole Miss here?
I actually give them quite a bit of a chance, and y'all might think I'm crazy, but you ever look at the teams that ever beat Bama, you never out Bama. You have to have some type of quarterback that can move around, make throws on the run, and that's what Kelly does. I mean, he's the obvious best quarterback in that conference. It's not many good ones out there, but he's the best. And if they can eat some clock away, keep that offense on the off the field, and he can move the chains with his legs and his arm, they have a chance. You know, I mean, we know Bama was dominant in week one, but if you go back and watch that SEC game, I mean, oh my God, Hurts didn't, he didn't have to do much. He made throws all of us could have made. I mean, there was times where DBs were blitzing, shouldn't have been blitzing. Guys weren't covering guys. And then I thought after the second quarter, I think everybody quit except for Dory Jackson.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's how it is when you play for Alabama. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, when was the last time Alabama's absolutely needed their quarterback to have a huge game? Like, you know, they take the pressure off of him.
It's like they're playing Western Kentucky, and you got just, I mean, it's telling all over the field, you know. And for what he did,
I mean, that's true, don't get me wrong, but
he was efficient, so.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's no Heisman-type guy in that backfield this year for Bama. You know, they're running by committee. And
yeah, no, I agree with that. I just, you know, I think it comes down to is, you know, Ole Miss probably hangs for a while, maybe a first half.
I agree.
But I just think Alabama's lines are just going to wear them down.
Yes, and, I totally agree with that.
More pressure. They got to get more pressure on Kelly last year. I remember because I had Bama in a few teasers last year, and I was watching that, and I'm just like, they just can't touch him. Like, you know, I don't remember if it was, you know, Ole Miss's offensive line was that good, or if, you know, they just weren't. Bama was just not getting enough pressure on Kelly. And you get pressure on him, he will turn the ball over. He's going to try and force and make plays. That's the kind of player he is. You can't sit back and just wait. Go after him. And I'm sure, you know, when you have Nick Saban, they got the tape on this kid now, and, you know, I guarantee you all week in practice he's been talking about how, you know, they got embarrassed last year and he's just trying to light a spark, and they will. I mean, you remember what they did. This almost reminds me of the Alabama-Georgia game last year when Alabama, remember after they lost to, I believe it was Ole Miss, I believe it was the following week, they went to Georgia and just kicked the shit out of them. I think the spread was like a pick 'em. And everybody was like, you know, down on Bama. Oh, man, what's going on? Is the Saban dynasty over? And they just kicked the shit out of Georgia. And I'm sensing that here. I'm sensing we're looking at a, you know, 14 to 20 point Bama win. And, you know, I kind of hope not because I want to see a good game. But I think Bama is going to beat them up pretty good. So once again, we're all in agreement. Bama is going to win the game. Me and Mike think it'll be rather easily. P-Jack thinks that Ole Miss is going to hang. All right, now we move over to the nightcap, which you could, you know, another just awesome game. That this is probably the game that I've been looking at personally all offseason that I was really the most excited for, and I think it's the perfect Saturday night ABC primetime game. Ohio State at Oklahoma. Prentice, we see that Oklahoma obviously disappointed. They had what I call the Bob Stoops loss. There's a loss every year for Oklahoma that just kind of makes you scratch your head. Even though, give Houston credit, they really balled out.
I don't think that was it though. Not yet.
It really wasn't. But I'm still gonna call it that because it's Bob Stoops and somebody who I feel should have been fired years ago. This game is huge, and I'm excited for it. Prentice, give me your thoughts on this thing.
I mean, it's essentially a playoff eliminator, but it's also one of those show me.
Well, you think it's a playoff eliminator if Ohio State loses? Because I don't see that at all.
I don't think it's a playoff eliminator for Ohio State if they lose, but I think this really a loss would really hurt them considering what's left in that conference. Like, they're going to have to really play some games. Now, like, if Oklahoma lose, they're done. I don't even think the Big 12 gets a shot. Nah, I mean, not anybody. But
I would agree. I think that's...
Yeah. If Oklahoma loses, they're done. And I think if Ohio State comes into this game and they lose, I think a lot of people are going to say what I feel like I've been saying all offseason. Ohio State lost too much. And I think people will essentially try to underrate them. I mean, knock them down in the rankings and not try to get them back in the playoffs. So it could be a playoff eliminator for both. It's the game I'm most looking forward to. I want Ohio State to prove that they have enough. Like, Urban's recruited great, and we all know this. That the cupboard ain't bare. Yeah, we lost some big names to the league, but we got a lot of guys back that can go out there and do this thing, and I want to see them go out there and prove this.
See, but before I get to Mike here, I can't call this. Would this even be a bad loss for Ohio State? Like, this is, for me, this is Oklahoma's season. I think we can all agree on that. I mean, I don't really care what you do in the Big 12, because the Big 12 looks to be pretty down so far. You know, like the TCU and Baylor, they are not as strong as they've been. No. So I think
that whole league is down. But so right. if Oklahoma goes out there and they beat Ohio State, then everybody, what are we going to dog Ohio State, or are we going to praise Houston even more?
Like, I don't think we're going to dog Ohio State. I think this is like a resume, just a resume solidifier for Ohio State. They go to Oklahoma and win, and you know, you can lose a Big Ten game and have this win in your back pocket. Well, you know, look at some of these other teams. They didn't have any tough non-conference games. We went to Oklahoma and we won. I mean, right. I think even
if they lose three or four games, we put them on the schedule at their place to
yeah,
win.
Yeah, I don't see this law. If Ohio State loses this game, I don't think it hurts them in a way of, you know, losing contention for the playoff, because, you know, what they can do in the Big Ten will still, you know, speak for itself. Mike, you're an Ohio State guy. What's your feeling here? Because I said this before, like, I've kind of felt this the whole year already. Ohio State's almost being disrespected. Like, you don't, like, when people are talking about, like, some of the best teams nationally, like, people will say, yeah, you know, Meyer recruited well, and, you know, they always reload, but they lost Cardale Jones, they lost Ezekiel Elliott, they lost Braxton Miller. Yeah, so nobody's, like, really taking them seriously. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think, first of all, this was supposed to be a top five matchup. If it wasn't for Houston, this would, you know, you would have two top five teams playing each other. And I think Oklahoma is still as good as a team as they were coming into the season. And that this matchup, it is fair to have that much hype. I think the matchup will live up to the hype. However, Ohio State, they've been doing this slow start shit like they did last week against fucking Tulsa. A couple pick sixes broke it open, and then after that, the offense got the wheels turning. JT Barrett, I mean, he's played big games before. I mean, they had the quarterback competition. It's over with. It's his ship now, and he's a junior doing it. Right now, I mean, he playing to see where he's going to be playing at on Sundays. You know what I mean? And this is that type of game that's going to get him the realization of that. I mean, the backstory to this game is that JT wanted to go to Texas. He always wanted to play Oklahoma. Where's his chance now? That's a cool little backstory. Cool. They're going to go in there. They're going to handle business. I think you
brought up a really good – you just brought up a really good point. Like, JT Barrett's, like, nice and relaxed this year, right? He doesn't have to worry about any type of quarterback competition with Cardale Jones. Well, oh, if I throw a pick here, if I throw a bad pass here, am I going to get pulled? You know, it's like, this is his team now. He's right. The man on this team. And leader. I think that, yeah, and like, we've seen him, like, when he was in, especially before he got hurt 2 years ago, he was really, really good. Yeah. And I think people just kind of, and you guys know me, I'm an Ohio State hater, but I think people were just kind of forgetting about this team. And, you know, They can remember quickly if they go to Oklahoma and win, and I think they're going to. I'm picking Ohio State here. I don't feel great about it. I mean, nothing really would surprise me, but I'm going Urban Meyer in a tough environment in a big game over Bobby Stoops. Like, that's just kind of night and day for me. I think Ohio State's going to pull this out. Mike, how do you?
19, I mean, this 18 straight road victories, this will be the 19. It's going to be a good game. Ohio State will pull away in the fourth quarter. JT shows up on the big stage. Mayfield, he's good. I actually like him. I think that week one, we saw his weaknesses, but we saw the whole Oklahoma team weaknesses. It wasn't just him. I think he didn't get a lot of credit for what he's been doing since he's been the quarterback there. But I think Ohio State shows that, yeah, we replace guys. Like, this is Ohio State. We're always top. We always get top guys throughout the recruiting process. And, yeah, they did lose a lot. You're right. You named off a lot of names that are making noise on Sundays now, or will be. But at the same time, they replaced them guys. I'd say it's going to be about a one-score game. Ohio State pulls it out.
Prentice?
I mean, I agree, too. I think Ohio State gets it done, but I don't think it's, like, blatant disrespect right now. It's, like, we all know JT Barrett's there. We know what JT Barrett's capable of. But it's who's around him. Who is he handing the ball off to? Can he be as good as Ezekiel Elliott? He don't have to be as good, but can he make plays? Who is he throwing the ball to? Like, who is these new names on the outside that's going to make plays for him all season in these big type of games? Like, somebody on Ohio State team is going to have to become a star on Saturday. Like, somebody is going to be a household name after Saturday. Somebody other than JT Barrett is going to have to step up and say, hey, I'm here too. I can fucking arrive and dominate. So, I mean, I think it's going to happen. I think they can beat Oklahoma. I've never been a fan of Oklahoma. I think this team was frauds. I think they were overrated to start the season. But I'm hoping for a good game. But I think Ohio State get them by 2 touchdowns.
Oh, okay. Prentice, so
I got your name, Prentice. Curtis Samuel, Jr.
Okay.
Curtis Samuel.
He better show up.
Out of the backfield receiving and rushing. Curtis Samuel.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. That's our college football preview. I mean, man, I haven't been this excited for a college Saturday in a while. I mean, the first week this year was awesome. You know, there was a lot of good matchups there too. But this is like, you know, nobody really thought before the year that Louisville was going to look this good. I didn't circle this game, this Louisville Florida State game, you know, when I'm looking at the schedule, you know, a couple weeks before the season. But now it's circled. Now everybody's ready for it. I think that's where is that where College Game Day is?
I know Herbie's them doing the game, but it's 12 o'clock. I don't know if they ever do College Game Day that early.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Sorry to interrupt, but I mean, there's another game that we didn't talk about that I think also has kind of huge implications on the playoff, because if you look, let's say, for instance, Ohio State loses this weekend, Oklahoma wins, they're back in it. Let's say Michigan State and Notre Dame, which is another big game Saturday night. Let's say Michigan State loses. You've lost two Big Ten teams week three that have losses. And let's say, for instance, Michigan doesn't run the table. They lose the game. Everybody ends up 10-1. You know, then we got some crazy shit at the end of the year with, you know, three Big Ten teams could be 10-1. Oklahoma could be 10-1. Bama could be undefeated. Clemson and Florida State could all be 10-1 or undefeated. Like, it's going to be a lot of shit. This is a huge playoff weekend for college football.
It's really interesting to see how this shit play out. Elimination weekend, for sure. This early.
God, see, I just don't know if I can agree with that. I mean, I see with the points, I just...
Like games have to play out, but games have to play out. You know, teams always, somebody comes out of nowhere, but
you know,
it could be a conference eliminator, it could be...
Ohio State 2 years ago had that early season loss to Virginia Tech, remember? I think that was like week two.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bama had the early season loss to Ole Miss. Like, you know, this stuff, it happens. Like, I mean, Ohio State could lose Saturday night, and they could still easily be the national champion this year. Florida State, same thing. You know, I think it's more of like a, wins are much more important than a loss.
Late
like
in if the year. If you lose early.
If Ohio State wins this game, you know, they're heading into Big Ten play, you know, with the utmost confidence and one hell of a resume. Like, they will always have that in their back pocket. We won at Oklahoma, because I think Oklahoma will probably truck through the Big 12 schedule, maybe lose one. I mean, they're going to be there at the end of the year, regardless what happens Saturday. But I don't know. I mean, it's just you can really get a head of steam for the playoff by getting yourself a big win this Saturday. All right, moving over to the NFL. 1 week is in the books, and I got to tell you, what a crazy, crazy week one. I mean, that Sunday was nuts. You had Kansas City with a huge comeback against San Diego to win in overtime. The Oakland-New Orleans game, which was a shootout that Oakland gets the two-point conversion on with 47. Love you, Jack Del Rio. Absolutely love it. You guys know how I am. Love when a coach actually steps up and takes a shot. Cincinnati beats the Jets by one on the road.
You want to fire him last week, didn't you?
Who, Del Rio? No, I didn't want. Did I want to fire him? I mean, I've said I thought he was. Kelsey didn't like him, and I agreed with her. I thought he's kind of an idiot. He's just like, you look at him, he just looks like one of those like old school, you know, football guys that's stuck in the 80s that just doesn't know how the game progresses. And, you know, he proved that he's kind of not that on Sunday. Looking at all these crazy, I got all the scores in front of me. P-Jack, if you know, what were some of your takes? Because I, you know, I don't want to go crazy with overreactions here, but give me some week one takes.
Matthew Stafford. I actually went to the Colts and Lions game Sunday.
That's right.
And holy shit, man. Matt Stafford. I know Quan's joking when he's saying Calvin Johnson held Matthew Stafford back. But if he continues to do this, and by week 8, I think that's going to be the headline. Because Matthew Stafford was cussing boys out. He was a leader on that field. I mean, directing people. He was looking at every receiver, his checkdowns. Theo Reddick looked great. I mean, now they probably could have lost the end of that game. But, man, Matthew Stafford played flawless. And that, me personally, that was the best game I think I've ever seen him play. And if he continues to play like that, I'm not saying they're going to win the division over Green Bay, but they'll give y'all a run for y'all money.
I mean,
that's a scorching hot take, by the way.
The talent is definitely there on offense. I mean, you look at, you know, even forget, you know, everybody thought Calvin Johnson's gone. Well, what happens to this offense? Well, they got a pretty damn athletic, good tight end in Eric Ebron. They got two really respectable NFL wide receivers in Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. And then they got like these hybrid running backs in Abdullah and Riddick. That can catch, that can run, that you know, when they're smart, when they get them out in space. Ever since Jim Bob Cooter took over as the offensive coordinator, Stafford's played really well. And I'm you know, as a Packers fan, obviously I'd like Detroit to be weaker, but, you know, they showed me something. I know the Colts defense, bad, whatever. Who cares? You play who's on your schedule, and you build confidence by beating teams like that. On the road, I mean, That was an impressive win for Detroit. I got to agree with you. Is anything? I mean, what up, Mike? What jumped out for you for week one?
I'll say, definitely Aaron Rodgers is still the man in the NFL. Play the Jaguars team who they tried to put so much different type of looks or pressure on him, and I mean the fact that he just has the ability to get outside the pocket. And avoid pressure, and he doesn't just sit there and pick the secondary apart, but he gets around. I mean, that pass with Jalen Ramsey hanging off his back, that was just crazy at the end. I mean, he's just the best player. And I mean, kind of like how you just said, Shane, about division rivals. Like, I'm a Bears fan, but I can't do nothing but respect this dude. He got Jordy Nelson back, which Jordy Nelson, one of my favorite receivers, and in the NFL. But I just think the Packers, they set themselves up for a great season. I don't see why they don't win the NFC North. The Lions did look really good. Quan said that Calvin Johnson was holding Stafford back. You can argue that however you want to, but the fact that he got to get it done without Megatron, that last drive was awesome, seeing him yelling at his teammates to get out of bounds and, you know, trying to march down the field to get the win. That was awesome. That was awesome watching that. So I really did like what I saw from the division, couple division rivals. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers is still the man in the NFL, in case you didn't know.
I got another team that surprised me this weekend, and that was the Arizona Cardinals. Like, I would have thought they would have destroyed New England, you know, not having Tom Brady.
They got Belichicked.
They got Belichicked.
I agree.
And the head coach came out, and, I mean, he called players out. Like, he was pissed. Like, he called guys out in the media. Like, Ken Geechee didn't play well, and Bethel didn't play well. Like, he was dropping names. This is week one, and he's in the media calling guys out, and that was not a good look for them, man. I don't know if they still hung over from the playoff losing last year, but they better get their shit right. I think they will, but they got their ass kicked by New England.
I think they'll get it right, too, but I'll tell you what, and we mentioned this on the podcast last week. Guys, Carson Palmer, I mean, I'm just not a believer at this point. Like, he was really, really good in the regular season last year. I get it. He was absolutely horrendous in the playoffs. Maybe he's got it. Maybe his arm is just dead. Maybe he's finally reached that point. You know, like, he's older now. He's, what, 37? He up there,
man. We've been seeing a lot of Carson Palmer for years now.
Yeah, and now he's fortunate that he has a ton of talent around him. He's got, you know, a few good, really good receivers, a really good running back. They're going to right the ship. Like, that, Arizona is going to fall off or something. And I'm just saying.
Right. They still had a chance to win the game. They missed the field goal at the end of the game.
If there's something that can slow that team down, it's Carson Palmer. And I'm just not a fan at this point. We'll need to see. But I think that's going to become a story, like, sooner rather than later. Looking at some of these other games, some of the things that jumped out to me. Number one, we argued. Well, I wouldn't even say it as argued. I'm not backtracking here, so let's not pretend I am.
Oakland but Raiders.
I'm buying more now into Oakland, and you know, it's not just, you know, just because they won the game, but, you know, I saw some stuff with Carr that you had just brought up with Stafford. And I liked his demeanor. It's weird to say, like, he sold me a little more than I was ready for. I mean, he had like 300 yards and a touchdown. His numbers weren't like that crazy, but he played really well.
Keep getting better.
I felt like last year, and obviously Cooper and Crabtree are very, very good, but I felt like last year Carr was just close games. He's just going to throw a lot of passes, so the numbers were inflated. They were coming from behind. But I don't know. Like, I'm more of a believer now in that team. And how about Del Rio? Now, I don't know. I was watching one of these, like, analytics guys who I follow on Twitter, who's really, really smart, and he said that what Del Rio actually did was the wrong call, because you still had 40, if, like, there was like 15 seconds left, then that's the right call. But the fact that they still had 47 seconds left, I think they had one timeout, that New Orleans still had enough time to get into field goal range and win the game. But I liked what Del Rio did. I would have liked it even if they didn't get it. You know, that division, obviously San Diego is probably the bottom feeder, but, you know, Oakland will probably challenge. You guys were probably right. What did you guys think of Jameis Winston? That's another team that people are kind of talking about from week one that they're, you know, starting to buy a little bit is Tampa. What do you guys think of
Winston's day? I just hop in because I was in one of my fantasy leagues. I was playing against him, so I was rooting against him.
Oh, that wasn't fun.
He had pretty much the best week out of all the quarterbacks. I think it was Forrest that said he's arrived or he's about to arrive. I'm like, no, it's not that he's arrived. He just plays for a shit team, and he's showing us what a number one overall selection is supposed to show, or so we think he's supposed to show. So I'm not surprised at all. I like his progression. He's growing. I mean, it's Jameis Winston. He's a winner. Are we really that surprised that this is going on? Like, he got weapons on the Bucks, and, I mean, it's week one. So let's not, you know, get too far ahead. He's not the greatest of all time, but I don't see a reason to be too surprised by it.
I mean, you just kind of, like, look at him and watch him play and just, like, yeah, this guy's got everything you need to be a really good NFL quarterback. And, you know, I find it funny that, you know, one of our, I guess you could say, coworkers, Kevin Schrader, who jumped off, who was a longtime Bucks
die
fan,
hard.
But the kid's so pathetic that he actually stopped being a fan of the team because he's been so wrong about their draft choices this year, the last couple years. So he kind of makes himself look even dumber by, you know, if he would stick with the team while these guys are succeeding. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to do that. So he dumped the team, and now he's a so-called Bears fan because he thinks that he's just an idiot. Anyway.
You know, what I saw, man, is I do believe he's arrived. And I mean, I get what you're saying, Mike. You know, this is what a number one overall pick is supposed to do. It's hard saying that being a quarterback in the NFL because there's so much boom and bust and so many guys just don't pan out. And, you know, like, you look at a guy like David Carr. Did I say the right name? Not the Carr brother for the Raiders, but the other Carr. David Carr. David Carr. We never know if he was really good or not. He was damaged goods. He just got raped out there.
Situation.
But you look at Jameis. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you look at Jameis, man, and, you know, I'm a big-time Florida State fan, so I've seen the guy play for 2 years. And you can tell when the game just slowed down for Jameis, and you knew he was the best player on the field. And I think he's getting to that point where it's just, you know, early in his career, you know, last year he'd throw a few picks early in the game or he'd make a mistake. I think he threw a pick Sunday, but it's like he moves past that. It's like, oh, I threw a pick. I don't give a shit. I come back and throw two touchdowns on you. You know, the game has completely slowed down for Jameis, and I'm ready to see what he's going to do this year. I'm ready.
Yeah, because, I mean, outside of Carolina, who we still expect to end up being the best team in that division, I mean, I think Tampa's much better than New Orleans or Atlanta. I mean, I don't even think that's not even a question. I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa Bay wins, you know, 10 games this year and they find a way to get in the playoffs. You know, that's a team that's, you know, really on the rise. I want to bring up real quick from last week, what did you guys think of the team that I called a fraud, wrote an article about it, bet their season wins under, and for the first time ever, like, from one of my Good If It Goes articles, Redskins fans, they searched their team name on Twitter, and they attacked me, and actually because Jeff Axel actually retweeted it and agreed with me, and then all these Redskins fans found me and just started berating me with all these insults. It was great. I said that the Redskins were a complete and utter fraud, and they'll be lucky to win 7 games this year. They got pantsed at home on Monday night by the Steelers. What did you guys make of that game? Like, is Washington? Do you agree that Washington's a fraud, and are the Steelers the real deal in the AFC?
Well, Mike, you called me out last week because I picked them to win the East, and I was completely wrong. And I mean, I even stated why I probably would be wrong, which is because Washington didn't beat a winning team last year. They're frauds. They are the frauds we thought they were to be. The big story is Josh Norman not even attempting to line up across AB. And that's embarrassing. You get paid the money, you know. You get paid the money to do that. And I mean, Brown...
See, that's coaching. Like, that's just, like, pathetic coaching. And you saw, I said it, like, in the second drive of the game when Washington had it, like, 4th-and-1 on the Pittsburgh 40. And they punted. That is for losers. Losing coaches do that. Jay Gruden is a loser. As far as the other side of the ball, Mike, what did you think of the Steelers? Because, I mean, that offense is so ridiculously explosive.
And they're missing two of their better players in Bennett and Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
Which is very scary, the fact that they can still light it up.
Yeah. Yep.
And the fact they can still light it up like that, I mean, they haven't missed a step. It's like Big Ben and Antonio Brown been working all offseason. It's like they were just trapped in a room together. I mean, they came out and they did what we thought they would do. No surprises there. So they got to just work on their defense. A couple lapses I thought that I was going to see, but Kirk Cousins didn't take advantage of anything. So, going into their division play, they had a big game this week. I think that offense is on point, though, and they're going to keep it up.
P-Jack, before we move on to this week's games, give me something on the Cowboys-Giants game from this past week. You know, you know,
same old Cowboy shit. It don't change. That's all I got. It's same old Cowboy shit. It don't change. It's the same shit every year. They lose the games because they're stupid.
You know, I thought Dak played pretty well, right?
He played pretty good. The offensive line didn't really block too well. You know, I don't think he had many yards rushing.
No, he didn't.
Like I said, I picked the Giants to win that division. I'm still sticking with that. I don't think Cowboys are even a contender. You know, it was a close game, but you know, it is week one. It's a rival. That's all we're going to see from Cowboys. That team's garbage.
I like that Sterling Shepard they got. And you know, Victor Cruz is back, looks healthy. Obviously, he's not going to be as good as he was a couple years ago, but if he's your number three receiver, he can help. And, I mean, if that Giants defense, because, you know, we talked about the additions the Giants made on D, if that defense, if that thing starts, like, working out, I mean, you have a potential. That's a potential Super Bowl team right there, because that offense is explosive. I think, and I, you know, it has something to do with how bad the division is. I think they're going to run away with the division. I don't even think it's going to be competitive. If everybody on that team, you know, the main guys stay healthy, they are going to run away with that division. That's a team that I kind of got my eye on. I'm concerned about them as a Packers fan. All right, moving on to this week's games. You know, just to highlight some of the marquee ones. One of the early ones, obviously, that's going to be real interesting. We just got done talking about one of the teams. The always fun and friendly Cincinnati Bengals and Pittsburgh Steelers games. Games in Pittsburgh, who do you guys like here?
I like Pittsburgh until further notice, until somebody can prove that they can stop them offensively. You know, I'm rolling with them until further notice. I mean, they week one, they look like, I know it's the Washington, but they look like a juggernaut. That offense, you know, they don't lose a beat. Le'Veon Bell is hurt. We talked to somebody, I think it was you, you know, you mentioned D'Angelo Williams last week.
Man.
He stepped right in and he
unbelievable.
Looked, he looked amazing.
Unbelievable.
You know, Antonio Brown continues to be the best receiver in football. Big Ben does what Big Ben does. So until somebody proved that they can slow them, I'm picking them to win.
Yeah, I'm going, I'm going Pittsburgh also. And it's not to say that Cincinnati isn't on par where they have been the last couple seasons. I'm not sure. Is Eifert going to be back this week?
Eifert is out.
Okay, see, I didn't see that.
Today.
So that hurts their chance a little bit more because he's a pretty important weapon in their offense. And I think A.J. Green is going to have a good game, but Antonio Brown is going to have a better game, baby. And the Steelers going to take it.
Okay.
Talk about A.J. Green. He fucking cooked Revis last week.
Yeah. A.J. Green's almost like a forgotten guy sometimes. Like, you know, everybody talks about Antonio Brown, Beckham, Julio. A.J. Green's right there in the category with those guys. He's phenomenal. Here's another interesting one. Kansas City at Houston. Kansas City obviously coming off that, you know, incredible comeback win. Houston beat the Bears at home. I thought Brock Osweiler looked okay. Not great, not bad. Will Fuller, the rookie from Notre Dame, P-Jack, that guy, he can play. And I think that's what they need. Like, that's the number two they need across from DeAndre Hopkins. I think that's a pretty intriguing game. How do you guys feel that one plays out? P-Jack?
Like I said, not a fan of Brock Osweiler still. He's still got a lot to prove to me. Like I said, I like Kansas City. I think that defense, I wish they would get Houston back. I think he's out, man. I think maybe 8 weeks.
Yeah.
But when that defense is rolling, they're rolling. And they didn't look great early last week, but they finished off in that game. I don't know. I'm not sold on Houston yet. Defensively, I think I am, but offensively, they got to prove. I think Lamar Miller is going to run for 100 yards on Kansas City. So Brock Osweiler is going to have to make throws to beat them. I don't think he can.
Yeah, Mike. I got Kansas City. Houston, I think they trying to have what looks like a high-powered offense. The problem is that week one was against the Bears, so you really don't know. The Chiefs are obviously going to be more of a test than the Bears were in week one. And I'm excited to see some of these matchups. The D-line of Houston and the O-line of Kansas City, especially with Eric Fisher. And, I mean, the guys in the Texans, they kept getting the color. So it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good to see like how good they really are. I think what's the guy, Whitney Willie? He got like 2 sacks, a sack fumble against the Bears last week. So really seeing what goes on in the trenches. And Kansas City, they scored pretty much every week in the red zone. Like all their drives ended up in the red zone. So
yeah, so much for Jamal Charles. Spencer Ware came in, and oh my God, did he have himself a game. Don't forget too, this is, you know, I like to look at these angles a little bit sometimes. Houston, remember the playoff game, the Brian Hoyer game, they were absolutely embarrassed in their own building last year. The same situation against Kansas City at Houston, that they lost like, 30-0 or something stupid like that. Yeah, so, 30. You know, I kind of like the comeback there. I am going to give, while we're, you know, picking some of these good games, I'm going to give my best bet, and it's not often I do this, but my best bet is also an underdog straight-up winner. I'm taking the Indianapolis Colts to win at Denver this week. First of all, the 7 points. The 7 points that I'm getting is an absolute gift. I have Andrew Luck. You have Trevor Siemian. I'm going to take the 7 here for a nice size one, and I think Indianapolis has a real shot here of winning straight up. This is the classic buy low, sell high. The look ahead to this game was about 4 points a couple weeks ago. Well, Indianapolis came out and they laid an egg, looked bad against Detroit. Defense got beat up pretty bad. Denver, you know, they beat Carolina on Thursday night when they were pretty much outplayed the entire game. Carolina self-destructed in the second half. I thought Trevor Siemian was terrible, and he was just masked, you know, hidden. Once again, a quarterback of the Broncos hidden by the, you know, really good Denver defense. Well, Indianapolis is, you know, in a tough spot already coming off that loss. They falling 0-2 would be, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the season, but it would be, you know, it's going 0-2 and then making the playoffs is always tough. I just, you know, you have Andrew Luck, who I thought last week was awesome, and I thought their offensive line, for as much crap as they get, they were really good too. I think Luck was, what, only sacked one time? I like Indy here. I like Indy here. I'm going to take the 7, and I think they have a real shot to go win this game. You guys completely disagree from the sound of your initial reactions.
I do, and I'm going to tell you why. What the Colts do best is what Denver does best. And they can't run the ball. They can't play defense. Where the Colts beat you is spreading you out and throwing the ball. Who has the best secondary in football? Who can stop that? Denver Broncos. They can rush the passer, and they have the best set of 3 cornerbacks in football. I wouldn't take that bet. I think 6 points is being friendly. I think Denver wins by a touchdown or more. I think more like 9 should have been the line. You may think I'm crazy, but I think 9 or 10 should have been the spread. With Ware and Vaughn coming off the edge with that secondary, Andrew Luck is in trouble. And they will be. I think they will be screaming for Pagano's head after this game, because as bad as that defense played last week, if they let Taylor Siemian come in and light them up, it's over for them. It's over. After week 2, we're going to be talking about who's getting fired out there.
Mike? Oh, man. That's I could definitely agree with that last point, that somebody's going to be losing their job. I think it's going to be too much C.J. Anderson. I really think it's going to be I think it's going to be too much C.J. Anderson. And Indy's defense is going to look really bad against them. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. Because I think Indianapolis is going to find a way to put points on the board, and I think Luck will get a lot of reps. But like you said, it's just that secondary in Denver is really good. They haven't really missed a beat defensively. And offensively, I mean, you get Trevor Siemian again, week 2. Let's see what he does. But I'm looking at it as a push. I don't know why. I can't really choose a side. I would pick Denver. I'm not gonna take Indy with the points. But I mean, it could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes either way. This is a hard game for me to pick, because I think Indianapolis is better than we think. And I mean, y'all know I'm really biased towards Andrew Luck, so I don't really want to put too much of that into this. But I just don't think Denver's just going to blow them out or anything like that.
Okay. Is there any other games you guys got your eyes on? I mean, personally, I also kind of like Miami catching forgot how many they're catching at New England. Let me see. Miami's getting 6.5 at New England. I kind of like that. I like what I saw out of them last week. They weren't able to pull it out against Seattle, obviously. But I think, you know, New England riding on a high, you know, everybody thinks, you know, Garoppolo is a stud now. And I just think, you know, they kind of hit Arizona by surprise. I don't think Arizona took them very seriously. And I think that was a big mistake, obviously. And I think Miami can hang there. It's one of those divisional games. I think Miami can hang, maybe steal it, or, you know, lose by 3. So I think there's some value in the line there. So a couple dogs I like this week. I like Miami and I like Indy. Monday night, you know, the game of the week probably is Green Bay at Minnesota Sunday night.
Looks like Bradford starting this week.
Yeah, it looks like it is going to be Bradford. This is the first game. Obviously, in Minnesota's new stadium, it's Sunday Night Football, so it's going to be hype. You know, this is a good one for Prentice. You know, this is one of those where you can just sit back and enjoy. You know, me, I'm on my, you know, on my heels the entire game. This is a tough one. Rodgers, ever since Mike Zimmer took over, Rodgers has struggled against Minnesota. So I'm definitely interested to see what happens there. You know, hoping for a good another good week of football, because last week was outstanding. All right, before we as we start to wind this down, Mike wants to rant on a certain quarterback. Well, looks like ex-quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Mike, floor is yours, kid. Tell us how you feel about RG3.
So I have this saying: "Long live the black QB." And we have black QB stepping up. I mean, if Jameis pans out, we could have the new Manning Brady twice a year at the minimum for years to come. We got Russell Wilson, who's a member of the Black QB delegate, although he's of the cornball category. But he's still one of us. But RG3, dog, like, I mean, I got in heated arguments with people, and I'm a big Luck fan. But I got in heated arguments as why you were as good as Andrew Luck. And your rookie season, you proved me right most of the time. You showed up. As a rookie, you did as much as you could. But now, you came out as starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. You had the resurrection. The expectations weren't too high because you played in Cleveland. You know? And now, this trip to the injured reserve, it's going to cost you your career. I think it's over with for the guy. I don't know what else. I mean, your health has been, you're the NFL version of Derrick Rose. That's who you are right now. And I feel like your trip to New York has ended very quickly. And that's me saying that Rose is going to New York to resurrect his career. So I feel like your trip to the Knicks is now over. I think that this was like you were the first part of this Cleveland Browns rebuild, and now you just wasting money. You stealing money now. So RG3, to you, I bid adieu. Thank you for nothing. We'll always look back to 2012, and you know, the 2020 Olympics are coming up. Maybe you can get back into hurdling or some shit, because the NFL, you ain't got it going on, baby.
Yeah, maybe he could go the Javid Best route.
Yeah, he could do that and get smoked by Usain Bolt, even though he's not running. But maybe he'll come back to just smoke an NFL player.
Jesus, guys, the disrespect. I feel bad for RG3. You know, it was a freak, you know, injury. He got hit late in the fourth quarter. He thought it was just a shoulder ding, and, you know, MRI turned out it was a lot worse than he thought it was. And
the guy still has absolutely no idea how to slide. It's incredible.
I mean, I know he does. He has to realize that he's the franchise, and he's got to protect himself. Now, he's only on the IR for, you know, 8 weeks. He can't come back to week 10. But hopefully, you know, Hugh Jackson, they're out of it. He gives them another shot to prove himself to be the starter next year, and we'll go from there. But I really hope it's not a career ender.
Prentice, you have any? You have anything you want to add to this? To this week, you got any hot takes? Anything you want to get out there?
Hot takes, the game that I'm looking forward to, I'm not saying it's going to be one of the hot games, but Tampa and Arizona. You know, we just talked about Jameis Winston. you know, if he goes out there and he, you know, beats his Arizona defense throwing the ball and he looks really good at it, you know, week three we're calling him a star. And then we're going to wonder what the fuck is going on in Arizona. So it's one of those games where, you know, it's not like college football where there's an eliminator, but this is one of those games where we're going to be praising Jameis and questioning what the hell is going on in Arizona. And I'm hoping that happens.
You would probably assume, though, that Arizona, you know, Arians kicks the shit out of them all week in practice, and they come out and they play like the team that we saw the year last year, and they probably win this game, right? I mean, this is back-to-back road games for Tampa to start the season. You would think Arizona, but I agree with you. I'm definitely interested to see the way it plays out. So, all right, well, that'll wrap it up for the Good If It Goes podcast. We will be back next week to recap the action and preview the upcoming games. All right, Jeez. Y'all, we're out.
Knowles.
Oh,
Knowles, baby, JT number
wins.
One.
He shoots up to number one.
Knowles. We some dogs. Good If It Goes.